In the 1950s, late 50s, was a young student in Yeshiva University. His name was Marvin Tokea. And he attended a Tanya class. Somebody was teaching Tanya. And then, because of this, he ended up to go to the Rebbe. He had questions. He had a private audience with the Rebbe close to 2 hours. We're not going to all the details, but it was a very amazing meeting. Then he left and he moved on with his life. He graduated yeshiva, and then he enlisted in the American Army, became a chaplain in the American Air Force. They sent him to Japan. He served in Japan, I think in Nagasaki or somewhere around it. And then he came back to America. It was already 1967. He became a rabbi of a small synagogue in Great Neck, and he got engaged. He had a Chabad friend. His Chabad friend tells him, send an invitation to the Rebbe for the wedding. He tells him, listen, I'm not invited. I don't need another 2 people at the wedding. He told him, don't worry, the Rebbe doesn't go to any wedding. You'll get a bracha, you'll get a blessing. Fine. He sent an invitation. He gets a phone call. The Rebbe would like to meet you and your bride and to give you a blessing for this. He gets an appointment 1:30 in the morning. The last time it was 3 o'clock in the morning. This time it's only 1:30. He comes with his bride. He walks into the Rebbe. The Rebbe smiles and tells him, where were you for so long? You disappeared on me. He felt like a little guilty.
From
this last meeting that he saw him probably five years ago. He tells them, he had nothing to say. Then the Rebbe told them, the Rebbe looks at him, smiles, and tells them, it's enough to deal with the dead. It's time to deal with the living. He had no clue what the Rebbe means, what the Rebbe is referring to. He tells the Rebbe, I'm sorry, but I don't do any funerals. I don't officiate funerals. The Rebbe tells him again, it's enough to deal with the dead. It's time to deal with the living. He says, Rebbe, I'm sorry. He looks at his bride. I don't understand what you mean. The Rebbe told him, I read in the newspaper that you discovered a Jewish cemetery in Nagasaki. Nagasaki had the bomb, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody thought that everything was destroyed there. And he found the maps. And he discovered the Jewish cemetery that was not destroyed. And the Rebbe read it in America in a newspaper in a little place. And the Rebbe tells them, now the Rebbe says, I see you care for cemeteries in Nagasaki. What's with the Jewish community in Nagasaki? In Japan. In Japan, people are living. There is Jews. We need somebody to care for them. You need to go to be a rabbi in Japan. He didn't know from where this fell on him. He looks at his bride. She was an Israeli Yemenite girl. He translates her in Hebrew what the Rebbe said. Then the Rebbe tells that she said, tell the Rebbe that we'll quicker go to the moon than to Japan. He's trying, he says, no, it's not for us. He's trying to steer the conversation to other places. The Rebbe is very focused. I think you should go to Japan. Japan will be good for you. You went there. You know the language. You will know a little bit the culture. It will be a good experience for you. The Rebbe told him now there is, it was then it started the Peace Corps. And the president says, all our Jewish kids go to volunteer to save the world. Who is going to save the Jewish kids? Who is going to teach the kids in Japan Shema Israel? Who is going to give them Jewish pride? Who is going to tell them that they're Jewish? Go with your bride to Japan. He tells the Rebbe, but you know I cannot raise kids. The Rebbe told him, but you don't have kids yet. You're not even married yet. Go for a few years. I don't ask you to go for life. Just go for a little bit. Donate, contribute to the Jewish people, volunteer. Don't volunteer, we don't pay you, but be there a few years and come back. Then he tells the Rebbe, you have so many shluchim. You sent out Chabad rabbi. Send me one of your boys. The Rebbe looks at him and says, if I would have somebody to send, I would send him.
Even he didn't have someone to send to Japan.
At that time. He told them, you're a college graduate, speak well English, Yiddish, and Hebrew, you are the right candidate. It'll be good for you, be good for them. Whatever he says, the Rebbe is countering. You get married, you don't have kids, it's good for you, I'm finished. Finally, he told the Rebbe, thank you, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. The Rebbe got up, gave him a blessing for the wedding, and that's it. They left. They got married. A short time later, he get a phone call. The guy introduced himself as the president of the Jewish community in Japan, in Tokyo. He tells him, you know, I'm in the JFK airport changing planes. I have some time. Would you mind to come to meet me and a cup of coffee? He came. He started talking. He tells him, you know, I have an offer for you. I want you to be the rabbi in Japan. He told him, you know, I heard that before. No, thank you. He tells him, you know, I'm going to be back. He's on a business trip from Japan to... I'll be back in the United States in a month. You mind if I call you again? He says, no, you call me. A month later, he gets another phone call. I'm back here. Would you mind to meet with me? He meets with him again, this time in his own house, with his wife. He tells him, I have an offer for you guys. Come to Japan. We'll pay you. Just we need you. We need the rabbi. You went there. You lived there. You know the culture. You know the people. He says, no. Thank you, but no. Fine. A while later, this guy calls him again. This time, he said yes. Why? Because meanwhile, his wife, they got married. And you know the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law business? Mm-hmm. His wife came up with an idea. She said, maybe it'd be a good idea for us to go to Japan for 2 years.
Get about as far away as they could.
Yeah. Let's get a good honeymoon. You know, we can go to Singapore, to Hong Kong, to China, the whole Far East. Yeah. It would be amazing. So yes, fine. He started to work on the papers and took a year until they sent all the belonging. They already sent everything to Japan. They just stayed in America to wait for the baby. She was pregnant, for the baby to be born, and then they're going to Japan. Suddenly, his father died. Changed everything. Middle of the shiva, he got a letter from the Rebbe, a condolence letter. He appreciated it very much. After the shiva, he calls the Rebbe's office. He says, I need to see the Rebbe. He got an appointment the next day in the afternoon. Not 1:30, not 3 o'clock.
This is important.
He comes into the Rebbe. He tells the Rebbe, first of all, I want to thank you for the letter, condolence letter. Me and my mother read it 100 times. Gave him a lot of strength. But what should I do now? I sent everything, but my mother died. Should I leave her alone? My father died. Should I leave my mother alone? The Rebbe told him, you are going. You want to take your mother with you? Go ahead, but you are going. Don't change your plans. Fine. Then the Rebbe told him, listen, you're going to Japan. Don't be only the rabbi of your congregation. Be the rabbi of everybody. The rabbi of the whole Jewish community in the Far East. You're the only rabbi there. People call you, make yourself available for everybody. Don't be a narrow rabbi only for the congregation. For Jews, even non-Jews will come to ask you questions. For everyone. Then the Rebbe told him, study Torah with your wife. He asked the Rebbe, I don't have anybody to study Torah with. What are you going to do? The Rebbe told him, with your wife. Study Bible, share, be something abiding that you bring you together. And the Rebbe told them, live by mitzvahs, do mitzvahs every day. And he made it his motto. He went to Japan. He came, he said it was amazing. He opened a Hebrew school, he did things, people embraced him. And he says every day was another phone call. Every day was something different. It was the adventures that he had there was amazing. People from all the Far East, non-Jews, called them. He ended up to be 2 years passed by like this. He ended up another year, he ended up to be in Japan 8 years.
Wow.
All his kids were born in Japan. And he said one day a Japanese guy calls him, he says he heard that there is something that's called the Talmud. Can I come over to borrow the book from you tonight? I'll give it to you back tomorrow morning. The guy told him, would you mind to bring a talk with you? He came, he showed him the Talmud. They talked, they had a conversation, they became friends. He told him, why you don't write a book, an introduction to the Talmud? Tell us about Jewish tradition. Some stories on the Talmud. He wrote a book in Japanese. It was sold 1 million copies. It's on the 13th or the 14th edition.
I think I heard about that.
Really?
I think I heard about that. Okay. Sorry, go on.
And he says that the best thing he ever did in his life. It was the best years in his life. Since then, he established a relationship. He goes to Japan every year, to the Far East. He wrote many books. And a big part of his living and everything is from there.
It's great.
Now, and he enlightened not only Jews, but non-Jews too.
That's amazing. Now, he wasn't a Chabad Rebbe.
He wasn't a Chabad. He just fell into the Rebbe's hand one time.
Was he Orthodox?
He's Orthodox, sure.
Just a regular Orthodox
a rabbi. A modern Orthodox back. Rabbi that the Rebbe back. Forced him to go to Japan. Literally. And then he can never thank enough for the smart move that he made. Why it's so connected today? Because this Shabbos is Parshat Dvarim. We're beginning the fifth book from the five books of Moses. And the first Parsha, the book is called Dvarim, Deuteronomy, and the Parsha is called Dvarim. In the beginning it's written, Moses explained the Torah to the Jewish people. And right away you read it, Moses explained, Moses said the book of Deuteronomy, it's written the date. He said it 5 weeks before he died. 5 weeks before he died, he started to explain the Torah to the Jews. What was he doing for the 4 years? Wasn't he teaching the Torah? But Rashi says from the Talmud, he translated to other languages.
To the nations.
Oh.
Not the time.
Oh. Then the question is, to whom? That the people in the desert did not understand Hebrew?
Right.
Isn't this the new generation that you finally raised in the desert? If anybody would speak Hebrew, it would be them. They went to Cheder, were not influenced by Egypt, not by Israel, not by anybody in the desert, the middle of nowhere. The answer is, like you said, the Rebbe said it, to the nations of the world. Moses began a process of translation of the Torah. Why? In the next week's parsha, it's written, then God, Moses tells the Jewish people the name of God, the Torah, this will be the wisdom and your knowledge in front of the nation. What will the world appreciate about the Jews? The way of life, the Torah that they have, the laws, the moral laws, the justice, justice and the pursuit of justice. That's what the world will appreciate about the Jews. For them to appreciate it, they need to understand it. Then the Bible, the first one to translate the Bible was Moses. The oral tradition is a different story. It's more for the Jews. But the written Torah is for everybody. Later was another translation by King Ptolemy. It was in the time, a little bit before the time of Hanukkah, I would say over 2,000 years ago. 2,200 years ago, I don't know exactly. Then a king commissioned 120 rabbis and they translated the Torah to Greek, and it became more common and more. But the idea of translating the Torah started all the way in the beginning. And Moses was the first one to start it. He wanted to show that everybody has to understand what God wants from the world. Everybody has to appreciate, and really, ultimately, we have to bring the whole world to the belief of God. We're not trying to convert anybody. We are actually not on the agenda of converting. Jews should be Jews, and non-Jews should be non-Jews. But the wisdom of the Bible, this is available for everyone.